Amen. Thank you all so much. And we are very grateful to have Brother Rob Pelkey with us again tonight. And most of you have had the chance to get to know Brother Rob again this week. And for those who may not, Brother Rob pastors Sherwood Hill Baptist Church in Indianapolis. And we're delighted that he is here with his wife Joan and son Nathan. And Brother Rob, would you come and share with us what God's laid on your heart for tonight?
Thank you, Brother Jeff, and thank you, church, for having us. And we've been blessed to be here this week, and I mean that. And I was especially blessed last night. I was, just to be honest with you, I was really wondering, with all those youngins, what it was going to be like. But I've never seen anything like it. That was the best behaved group of kids. And my hat's off to all those of you that are working with them, because I know the Lord used you to make that possible. And keep at it. You're doing a good job. And God's sowing seeds through you and the church. And thank you also for the wonderful place to stay and for the meals. During the day, others have taken us out, and we have ate well this week afterwards as well, and we certainly appreciate it, and thank you for the love offering for everything. It's always a privilege to get to be with Brother Jeff and get to spend a little bit of time, and I was glad to get to introduce him to a friend of mine this week as well. Amen. In fact, a couple of friends of mine, I was just thinking, yeah, amen. Well, tonight, if you go with me to Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, we won't be real long. I've only got 6 pages of notes. I had a professor that taught me well in Bible college. About every other day, he would make the statement, "I'm gonna try to let you out early today." It never happened, but it really made me feel good. You know, well, there's a truth I believe the Lord would have us to look at tonight, and I trust it'll be a blessing and a help to you. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read for our text beginning there at verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12. But not as the offense, so also is the... I'm sorry, I started in verse 15. Verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and you know that's Adam, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, the Lord Jesus. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. That always startles me. It seems like if it's free, it's understood it's a gift, and if it's a gift, it's understood it's free. When somebody says a free gift, it's almost like they're trying to get something across. Amen? Like he really means it, all right? The free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if one man's offense, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing through this church, and I thank you for this pastor and his wife and family. Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit now in this final service would be pleased to do something that you really see the need of in our hearts, beyond what I might imagine or that we might imagine. Lord, there's been much prayer and preparation gone into the meeting, but all is vain unless the Holy Spirit does that office work, unless Jesus Christ is magnified, unless, Lord, you take over. I pray you forgive us where we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed. We're nothing without you. And I pray for your help now to preach the message you've laid on our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you know, there are two things going on, particularly in verse 17. They both start with R. And in the military, and how many of you were in the military at one time or another? I figured there were a number of you. Thank you for your service. And I found out that R&R was a good time. Amen? And rest and recuperation or whatever you want to call it, it just meant you could pull back and rest, all right? And I understand that concept. But the two R's that I want to deal with tonight, I'm going to call it R&R, they are even better than that. They are receiving and reigning. Receiving and reigning. Now, I was preaching this particular message some years ago and probably had about 25% of the message to go, and all of a sudden one of the men hollered out, "I got it. I got it." And up until that time, he hadn't understood what I was getting at. That's not unusual with me. But I was glad he got it. Amen. Now, the truth is, the message is almost an optical illusion, if you want to call it that. Not a delusion, okay? But it's like an optical illusion that seems to fall into place, and then you sort of don't get it, and then you get it, all right? And I'm just praying that God will help us to get it, not just with our minds, but our hearts, because every once in a while, it comes into focus for me, and I get blessed all over again. As they say in Mississippi, there's a reality to it, and that is receiving and reigning. And verse 17 talks about receiving much more they which receive abundance of grace. Okay? They which receive abundance of grace. We got death by Adam's sin, but in Christ, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they are the subject of both of those R's, okay? They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they're the subjects of the entire message, those people who receive abundance of grace, okay? It's important that you understand that these are the ones who are the subject. But look at that phrase, abundance of grace, okay? That's exactly enough to meet the need and way more. Amen? That's how much grace there is. I think that'd be enough to save anybody. Amen? Exactly enough and way more. Way more. All right? Just like in 1 Timothy, Paul said, and the grace of our Lord, in his own case, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Okay? That means exactly enough and more and way more. And it applies here as well. And it's all in and by one Jesus Christ, there in verse 17. And it is the gift of righteousness. He is the gift, okay? If thou knewest the gift of God, the Lord told the woman at the well. If you just knew the gift of God. You, as I said last night, many know about the gift of God. But boy, when you personally come to know the gift of God, he is the gift of God. Amen. And it's all in and through him. And abundance of grace, that's kind of like forgiveness extended to us. Forgiveness, abundance of grace, the forgiveness of all of our sin. And more than that, the gift of righteousness. It's forgiveness and then righteousness imputed to our account or charged to our account. It's his righteousness, the righteousness of himself, the gift of righteousness. We know that to be justification. So we've got remission of sins, forgiveness, and justification. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. That was extended to you if you're saved here tonight. The very moment that you received the Lord Jesus Christ, you received the grace of God, abundance of grace, and at the same point in time, simultaneously, once and for all, the gift of righteousness, and were counted righteous before God with the very righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I'm going to say with the righteousness of God, you just might make it into heaven. That's sanctified sarcasm. I hope you got it. Amen. Certainly you will. Amen. Not because you're any good or I'm any good, but having Jesus Christ, I have the righteousness of God. In Jeremiah, he was prophesied and referred to as Jehovah Tsidkenu or Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Okay? I am righteousness, the Lord, our righteousness. That title in big letters in your Bible in Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. All our righteousnesses in ourselves are as filthy rags. I know you know that, but we need to lay the groundwork as we get into this tonight. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. And again, you can know that and know that and know that. But I tell you, I don't know how God does it, but when he lets you know that, amen, business picks up. You really don't need to be saved till then, all right? But when you finally see that it's not by works of righteousness, that's not even going to help you. That's not going to help you get into heaven. And as a matter of fact, if you're trusting in those filthy rags of self-righteousness, it will keep you out of heaven and work actually against you. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him, the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He had no sin. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, you got it, the righteousness of God in him. Now they which have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they're the subjects of verse 17 here. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 about Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's all in Jesus Christ. God has made him to be our righteousness. And if you don't have Christ as your righteousness, you have no righteousness. If I didn't have Christ as my righteousness, I would have no righteousness. But ever since that day, I received him by grace through faith. He became mine, and he is my righteousness before God. And he said, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That doesn't make me want to go rob a bank. That makes me want to hit the altar and say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. The gift of righteousness. Did you get that? The gift of righteousness. In the passage we read, verses 15 through 17, in three verses, five different times, he uses the word gift. It's almost like he's saying, I know you didn't get it. Let me say it again, gift. I know you didn't get it. Let me say it again, gift. I know you still didn't get it. Let me say it again. You get the picture? Amen. We're talking gift, free gift. Yes, I mean gift. It's hard. It's impossible, humanly speaking, to get it into our hard hearts as dead, blind, deaf, lost sinners. But God, amen, in his grace, has a way of doing that. He just told us to preach the word, amen. The word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many times did you hear the gospel before you were saved? And most of us, many times. Not that it was required that we had to hear it all those times before we could be saved, but God just loved us. Amen? And when he said gift 5 times in those 3 verses, he's saying, yes, I mean gift. Listen, I really mean gift. They which receive the gift of righteousness. All right? Abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. But he says there in verse 17, they which receive. Okay? Now, you're familiar with and probably have memorized John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Receiving is believing. I can remember Brother Paul, very patient with me as a young preacher. He said, Brother, you learn a lot in the altars at the camp meeting. He said, just stay close to me when we go up and I'll be talking with people. And I did. And there was a woman that was just as broken as she could be, saw she was lost, wanted to be saved. And I thought, all right, I'm going to listen, see just what he says to help her. This is going to be bound to be profound, okay? And this is what he said. It's a gift. He's the gift. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Said, sis, it's a gift. You receive it. Him as a gift. You just take him to yourself as a gift. And she realized it was a gift. It's a gift. My Savior. God saved her. And I thought, well, I thought he was going to say something really amazingly profound. And he did. Amen. There's nothing more profound than the good news of the gospel. The good news, the gospel of the grace of God. They which receive abundance. Do you remember your pitiful, empty hands? Do you remember that? If you don't, I doubt you've ever been saved. I'm not saying that as Rob Pelkey. I'm saying that as what I know of God's word. If you don't remember how empty you were and how lost you weren't a candidate for grace. Amen. Well, do you remember your pitiful, empty, hungry heart? Huh? No longer were you full of yourself and your ideas, but now you were pitifully hungry in your heart. No righteousness, no hope, no plea before God. Lost and ruined, just a beggar. Just worse than a beggar, filthy, wicked, guilty, condemned, a rebel sinner before a thrice holy God. Oh, you were pitifully hungry and empty. Then you received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. And it was all Jesus, 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 the Christ, the Lord, the Son of the living God. You received him as your righteousness. Or you received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Or did he give abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness? Or did you receive abundance of grace and the gift of... You say, what are you doing, preacher? Well, I figured out the answer to it, and it's yes. Amen. I used to listen to the Mole Singing Convention. Any other spiritual people out here? Thank you, brother. All right. Brother Mole and Mrs. Mole. And they'd sing, you know, the Chuck Wagon Gang, and they'd hit that chord, and you knew who it was. They were going to sing. They all sounded the same, but you got blessed every time. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. One of the songs they sang, they weren't all perfectly, you know. They weren't all perfectly in line, but one of the songs was "When I Looked Up and He Looked Down." And then somebody said, no, he looked down and you looked up. Well, was it he looked down and I looked up, or I looked up and he looked down? Well, I tell you what, I know the answer to that one too. It was yes. Amen. And I'm sure glad it was grace. Amen. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, those people are the ones he's talking about. These are the ones who shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. These are the ones. Now we're talking about reigning. Well, you remember the passage in Revelation chapter 1, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto our God. Amen. Unto him that loved us, aorist tense verb, point action right then. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us, point action, amen, point action, hath made us kings and priests unto our God. Well, is the forgiveness right then? Yes. Is the priesthood now? Why, we all believe in the priesthood of the believer, and that's one of the proof texts for the fact that every believer is his own priest unto God, under the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? That we're accountable to God. Our priesthood is now. Well, if that's so, then our kingship is now. That's Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins and hath made us kings and priests unto our God. You're looking at a king. Amen. I'm looking at some kings. Amen. Even the queens are kings. Amen. Unto him that loved us and washed us and hath made us kings and priests unto our God. All these are past tense. Hath made us. I can't lose for winning. Amen. Hath made us. In other words, if you've received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, you're reigning right now in life by Jesus Christ. If you have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God made you a king and a priest. You are now a king. Now, okay? Now you just think about this. If a slave had been freed, that would be glory. Amen. If a slave is freed, that's glory. But if then that former slave that's now freed is at the same time made a king, that's glory. Hallelujah. All right. He forgave me. That's remission. And more, he gave me his righteousness. That's justification. And more, he made me a king, hath made us kings. That's enthronement. That's inauguration, if you will. I'm talking about who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And he hath made us kings and priests unto our God. In other words, we are kings. If you're saved, you're a king. All right? Well, you look next to you or you look behind you, that just might be a king that you're seated next to, or you're in the midst of royalty tonight, and you need to recognize that. That's not bad for worms, incidentally. Amen. We are now kings. We have received a kingdom of grace. We're in that kingdom of grace, and we have authority and power over the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. And we have authority and power over the world and the flesh and the devil and sin and the powers of darkness and every enemy of God. Amen? We now eat king's food. Think about it. Heavenly honey. Amen? Fit for a king. We eat the very best of bread, the body of Christ, the very finest of wine, the blood of Christ. We dine on heavenly manna, God's own word, feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. It's all about him. Well, we're clothed in royal splendor. And I'm not talking about these rags, all right? We're clothed in royal splendor, the richest apparel imaginable, the pure, spotless, white linen righteousness of Jesus Christ, God's own Son. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Well, you heard about the woman that came into a church and she kept getting blessed. Nobody had ever been blessed there before. And the preacher's preaching, and he was giving them God's word, and she just got blessed. And she shout glory. She shout hallelujah. And they finally asked her to leave. And they took her out in the foyer and said, what's the matter with you? She said, I got religion. They said, well, you didn't get it here. Huh? Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you can get some religion around here. I'm talking about the right kind, amen. I'm talking about salvation, not religion. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I know what rejoicing is. I don't know what greatly rejoicing is unless it's rejoicing out of bounds. You know, I can't imagine that. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me, that's enough reason to rejoice greatly. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. And that's in the Old Testament, Isaiah 61:10. We're clothed in royal splendor. We have the finest attendance anybody could imagine. Royal attendance, if you please. We have these attendants every waking moment, every sleeping moment. They taught us back when you could teach these kind of things. All day, all night, angels watching over me, my Lord. That's not just a Negro spiritual. That's the truth of God's word. Amen. We're talking about day and night. Got royal attendants taking care of me 24/7. The very angels of God attend to us. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to be ministers for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's who he's talking about. Amen. And in Psalm 91, you know the verse 11 and 12, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's got everything under control, and we have the very finest of attendants. Amen. And we have kingly possessions. Boy, howdy. We have everything that our king has. All that is his is ours. We kings possess all that he possesses. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We do now possess these in Christ. Amen. Kings with kingly possessions. Well, let me rehearse again. You are now a king. So I don't feel like a king. Oh, that changes everything. No, it doesn't. No, it does. It doesn't change a thing. We talk about what God said in His Word. If you've really been born again, if you're God's child, you are now a king. Now on the throne, reigning. Now, they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in Christ Jesus. They shall reign, and it's a done deal. It is a perfected deal. They shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And considering that truth now, what does it mean to reign? R-E-I-G-N. Well, according to an American College Dictionary, royal rule or sway, to possess or exercise sovereign power or authority. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Amen. That's what he said. Well, we're kings with royal authority. We're not, listen to me now, we're not just barely alive, slaving through the hardships of life and whatever tough times happen to come. But in Christ Jesus and by Jesus Christ, all because of His person and His authority, I reign by divine right. You talk about the divine right of kings, I believe in this kind. Amen. I reign by divine right over the world, the flesh, the devil, hell, the grave, sin, and all the powers of darkness. Listen, that's what Paul was talking about in Romans 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. And listen, grace has put you on the throne. Say, when was that? Have I got to have another experience? No. If you really got saved, you're on the throne. Amen. As a king. Well, I'll let Brother Jeff straighten all this out after I'm gone. Maybe my last shot ever. Amen. Well, but I hope you'll get this. And I know he hopes you will too. Amen. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. No, you're over it. You're on top of sin. Sin has no right to reign over me or any of God's children. We're on the throne. Are you in Christ? Why, yes. Well, is Christ on the throne? Why, yes. Then where are you? In Christ, on the throne. In Christ, reigning. That's the point. I said it. I was honest from the get-go. Sometimes it gets out of focus, but every once in a while it gets in focus. Amen. And everything else lines up right again. Amen. And I think the more we look at it, we're just liable to believe it. And you know, your belief, what you believe, will determine how you behave. Amen. Well, and by the way, we practice what we believe. The rest is just religious talk. Okay, we'll go on now. You ready? I don't know who said that, but it bothered me. Our Lord Jesus hath made us kings and priests unto our God. Revelation 1:6. All right? And we now shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. He's talking about in this life, as well as in the life to come. He's not just talking about shall future. He's talking about shall in this life. We reign so we don't have to bow to the world, the flesh, the devil, sin. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Say, why do you keep repeating that? I need to hear it over and over and over again. That ye should obey it. What's the matter with you? You're on the throne. Why would you bow to sin? He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. We don't have to. Just get this now. I hope this will help somebody. Just a few practical pointers. You don't have to drink that beer. You don't have to smoke that joint. You don't have to take that hit. You don't have to go to that party. You don't have to run with that crowd. You don't have to listen to that music that turns your heart to lust and sin and rebellion and away from your allegiance to Christ and your affection for Christ. You don't have to get involved with anything that turns your allegiance and your affection for Christ, that turns it sour or lessens it in any way. You don't have to. You're a king on the throne. We don't have to look at that picture. You don't have to listen to that filthy story. You don't have to watch that dirty movie. I don't care if you're in the middle of it and you're excited about the plot. You don't have to listen. You don't have to. Amen. You don't have to read that book. You don't have to look at that heifer in the mall. I'm talking to you men now. Say amen, men. Amen. You're on the throne. You don't have to look. I got a preacher friend. He'd be in the mall with his family, and I think he had four daughters, and the four daughters and mama would cut him off at the pass when they saw when they saw something like that coming, and they'd say, "Incoming." Amen. Amen. Well, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. We don't have to. We use all the help we can get not to have to not have to. Amen. But I'm talking about, you don't have to look at that, that heifer in the mall or the one that pops up on your computer screen either. Amen. You don't have to pursue that illicit relationship that comes on with that siren call, you know, and seems so appealing. You don't have to go to that dirty site on the internet. You don't have to. If you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are in King Jesus, and you're on the throne in Him, and He hath made us kings and priests unto our God. Well, you don't have to attack others with your tongue. You don't have to use sharp, angry words. You don't have to. You say, "Well, I just blow off sometimes." Well, you know, I heard Brother Paul say this. A shotgun just blows up, you know, once in a while. But look at the hole that it leaves. My, my, my. Well, you don't have to use sharp, angry words. You're on the throne. You don't have to use and be involved in hurtful gossip. You're on the throne. You don't have to use snide, cutting remarks to someone or about someone. No, no, you're on the throne. You don't have to indulge in and entertain that attitude of self-pity or that attitude of disgruntlement. I don't know where I learned that word, but I was pastoring a church a million years ago, a million miles away. And that word came back to me because I was watching a particular one member, and the word disgruntlement just came back to my mind from somewhere in my past. And I said, "I wonder what disgruntlement means. I'm almost positive that's where he is." And I looked it up in the dictionary, that disgruntlement, that attitude. You don't have to indulge in it. It's a state of sulky dissatisfaction. Sulky dissatisfaction. You don't have to live like that. If you're saved, if you're washed in the blood, if you're God's child, you're king. Amen. You don't have to give into it. You don't have to go that way. Or that attitude of pride or bitterness or hatred or envy or selfishness or stubbornness. If that's idolatry and rebellion, stubbornness is as witchcraft and rebellion is as idolatry. You don't have to get into that. You're on the throne. Listen, you don't have to buy that thing in a passion that'll put you in financial bondage. Amen. I needed to hear that too. You don't need to talk like the world. You don't even need to adopt its smutty slang. Amen. So everybody else, listen, you're on the throne. Amen. You're not a peon out in the world. Yeah, you're king. talk like a king, act like a king. I mean, you don't have to think like the world does. Get wealth, get power, look out for number one. I deserve this or that, you know, and pursue your career. No, what you do is you pursue Christ. You pursue righteousness, and God will take care of your career and everything else that goes with it. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You don't have to dress like the world. You're not in bondage to the world's fashion trends. The question is, does it please my Father? Amen. Am I dressing like a king for the glory of my King? Amen. Well, he said, shall reign. In the sense of shall go on reigning. From the time that we came to know abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we received that, and from then on shall go on reigning. In the future, why sure, but shall for certain right now too. You reign now in spiritual life, right now in this life, child of God. Shall reign in life. It comes with the gift. Those that receive the gift are the ones that reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Just as abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Look at that verse again. Romans 5:17. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. In this life as well. It comes with the gift. Just like abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness are yours, even so, your position on the throne is yours. Your position on the throne over death and hell and the world, the flesh and sin and the powers of darkness. Over circumstances, over feelings, even your own feelings. Over public opinion. He said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Boy, howdy, on the throne, reigning in Christ Jesus. I guess that's pretty abundant. Amen. Amen. The world wonders what's the matter with us. Well, we just don't fit. We're not of it. Amen. God's put us above it. Amen. I'm not saying we're better than them or, you know, all that stupid stuff. But I want you to know this, though. Satan comes on like a lion, like a loud lion, but he's just a lousy liar. Amen. And he's the father of it. His biggest trick is lying. All right? He'll lie to you about what we're trying to preach tonight that God has already said. He'll lie to you about it. He doesn't want you to believe it. He doesn't want you to see it. And hath raised us up together and made us to live together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2:4, we've been mercied by Christ, loved by Christ, quickened by Christ, verse 5, graced by Christ, saved by Christ, and in verse 6, enthroned by Christ, raised us up together to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're reigning in Christ. I think that you could also make application from 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sistern, amen, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You have the victory right now. Now you consider Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're on the throne. Satan, he roars and lies and says, forget about that. But you know what? When I was a kid, I used to watch Robin Hood. It was a clean version, you know, black and white way back then and everything. And you remember that Robin Hood? Come on, nod your head. I won't be near as long, all right? Yeah. And, boy, I'll tell you what. I learned to hate that one guy. Prince John. Prince John was, he had taken over the throne. Prince Richard, and historically, there's some accuracy here. Prince Richard had gone to the Holy Wars, okay, and to lead out in the battle. He hadn't come back yet to his throne and to rule in England. So Prince John, his sniveling, lying, counterfeit brother, he said, "I am the king now." Okay? And what he didn't want was for the true heir to the throne. He didn't want King Richard to come back. He's hoping he got killed over there. He didn't want him to know that he had usurped the throne. And I tell you what, the devil has usurped the throne, but God has made us kings and priests unto our God, and Satan doesn't want us to realize our position. Satan hates this truth. He wants us to forget it. He says, "You stop looking at your position in Jesus Christ. Forget it. No, no, no. Now don't go to singing on me. Don't go to rejoicing on me. And don't go to shouting the victory on me. I can't stand that." That's what Satan says. Satan demands, "You are not reigning in life now." Well, wait just a minute. Wait a minute. But look, his authority is just a little bit overruled. His lie won't stand. This authority, the authority of the eternal God of heaven, amen, who is over all, the only living and true God, his authority is going to stand. Satan says, "You're not reigning in life now, but you look who it is that made you a king." You just look at it. Who hath made us kings and priests unto our God? Revelation 1 verses 5 and 6. Look who set you up to reign by one Jesus Christ. And they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So look who sets you up to reign by one Jesus Christ. And think, could there ever really be a higher authority? He's the prince of the kings of the earth. He's the king of all the kings and the Lord of all the lords. And he so ordained my right, and if you're saved, your right as a king. He did that, your right to reign. It couldn't be any more secure, any more fixed, any more settled in the mind and the intention of God. And he set it forth in his word. And every once in a while I believe it, and whoop, it jumps up and down inside of me. Amen. And you know what? I find the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Why shouldn't I rejoice? I'm in Jesus Christ. He's on the throne and I'm reigning in him over everything the devil and the world might try to throw at me. Well, he so ordained my right to reign. It couldn't be any more settled. By grace, my position reigning is by King Jesus. It's of King Jesus. It's in King Jesus. All my authority is of him, under him. It's his power, his authority, his might. Right now, reigning in him. What does it matter then what the world and the flesh and the devil try to say? Look who made you a king. Amen. Shall reign in life. Hath made us kings and priests under our God. Now, I'm going to pause just for a second to catch my breath. All right? I did. Now, listen, if this truth doesn't register in your heart at all, I mean even just a little bit, oh my. Doesn't it just give you, I mean just a little glimmer of light And I know it's not the first time you've heard it, but we're hoping if we get enough witnesses in, amen, that we'll all start believing it. Does it not at least give you a little help? Does it not stir your heart just a little? Just give you a little ray of hope. Amen. You are now on the throne in Christ, reigning kings and priests unto our God. You pray because you're a priest unto your God. Well, I'll tell you what, you've got just as much right to rule. Amen. For the glory of God. I call it reigning grace. Receiving and reigning. Reigning goes with the receiving. Well, if it gives you a little bit of hope, if it stirs your heart just a little bit, well then, you just pick up your head, child of God. You don't just have a king. That's good enough, I'll admit that. But in King Jesus, under King Jesus, you are a king. Amen? You have been made a king. You are a king reigning right now. This is not mere fanciful philosophy or pretty preaching or doctrinal dreaming or tricky truth twisting. This is the Word of God, and He wants us to know. Listen, this is not pie in the sky by and by. This is steak and potatoes and pie a la mode on the table in front of you right now. Our kings right now in Jesus Christ. Well, it's the solid truth of God's word. It is sound doctrine for every child of God right now. I'm going to try to close somehow. Get this though. Somebody said, well, how do I receive this? How do I receive this? You're talking about kingship and on the throne reign. How do I receive this? Well, if you have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, you can't receive this. It's already yours. Amen. You can't receive it. It's already yours right now. Shall reign. Not just a future possibility, but a present reality and absolute certainty. Hath made us kings. Already reigning. It's already yours. Victory in Jesus. Receiving and reigning go together like Siamese twins, two sides of one coin, amen? And it's all ours in Jesus Christ. Didn't just make provision for the life to come, though I say hallelujah for that, but gave us provision for this life right now, the nasty now and now, as well as the sweet by and by. Amen? He's given us provision and shall reign. We now reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I like to get another witness. A lot of times I bounce it off Brother Mike Morrow or somebody, you know, and he might be calling you, preacher, amen. And I don't want to get off into something, but brother, I could not get past this. I see this, and I was startled as I was reading one of those old writers, and he just kind of suggested this. I said, whoa, wait a minute, whoa, what is that? And I looked, I said, look what I've been missing. I'm a king, amen. And that's not a fantasy. That's not a fairy tale. Shall reign in life right now by one Jesus Christ. Well, I checked Jameson Fawcett Brown. All right. Well, one of the best one volume commentaries that a preacher can have. Jameson, call it JFB for short. Okay. And this is what he said about this. Shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Are you ready? I need a drum roll. Amen. All right. Here it is. Are you ready? We expatiate. I'll get back to that in a minute. We expatiate in a life divinely owned and legally secured, reigning in exultant freedom and unchallenged might through that other matchless one, Jesus Christ. Whoo! Even without knowing what expatiate means, I got blessed. But when I went back and checked on expatiate, went into space. Expatiate, according to my dictionary, it means to move or wander about without restraint. I'm a king in Christ. Amen. We expatiate, we move and wander about without restraint in a life divinely owned and legally secured, reigning in exultant freedom and unchallenged might through that other, not by my merit or my might, but through that other matchless one, Jesus Christ. I move and wander about without restraint. And immediately there's a song came back to me. We sang it Sunday morning. Now I live and move in freedom with each breath of life I take. I'll never forget the first time I heard that song. God help me to get it. Amen. And they had a low ceiling and had ceiling fans, and I like to got my sport coat hung up in it. Woo! Amen. I'm not bragging on me, and I'm not pretending. Folks, I'm talking about sometimes it's just time to praise God. Amen. And when I realized I expatiate in a life that's been divinely owned and legally secured in Christ. Amen. Now I live and move in freedom with each breath of life I take. I'm loved and forgiven. I'm back with the living. I'm just a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. And in King Jesus, you're looking at King Rob. And I'm looking at a bunch of royalty out here. Amen. And I'll tell you what, folks. We're going to have an invitation. You may just want to take this opportunity just to find a place in the altar and thank the Lord for settling everything for eternity for you and for this life as well in your kingship and your position in Jesus Christ. And ask God to help you keep your vision fixed and not let it get foggy. Amen. To keep from getting off track. To remember, he gave you life and gave it to you more abundantly. I got a preacher friend that he's with the Lord now, but if you knew his past, you'd understand this a little better. But he's up on the platform one time, and he had his leg crossed like that, and I saw some writing on the bottom of his shoe where somebody had written with an ink pen, and I was naturally curious about it. And you know what it said? I asked him about it. It said, "Take that, devil." Amen. Amen. You say, "Preacher, that's weird." No, no, he's just asserting his kingship. Amen. Yeah. That's not radical. That's just real. I'm saying we need to remind ourselves, as we do, the devil will sure get reminded. And I'm saying there may be some that just need to come get in the altar as we start the invitation. You may want to just come thank him. And there might be some others that you just want to come. You say, "Lord, I know you saved me. Abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, I know they're mine. But you said, shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. And I've been living a low life. And I've been letting everything rule over me. When all this time, I got a place on the throne in Jesus Christ. And I want to be forgiven. And I want to say, thank you, Lord, and I praise you for it, and I believe what you said." Amen. And there might be somebody here, you're on the outside looking in. You've never received that five times gift, free gift in that passage. You don't know the gift of God. You've never gotten in on the first part, so you hadn't got in on the second part, because they're both one part. Amen. You hadn't got in on it. You've never received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Why don't you quit struggling, quit arguing with God, and just come his way? Abundance of grace in Jesus Christ and the gift of righteousness in Jesus Christ. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Life and that more abundantly. Maybe you need to come and receive Christ tonight. He's still in the saving business. Lord, I thank you for your presence with us and among us. I pray that the Holy Spirit might have his way in all of us tonight. I pray that you'll help us to respond to you and what you're saying to our heart. Help us to fully comprehend and apprehend in our hearts the truth of the gospel and how it's good news for eternity and good news for right now as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please have your way in all of us for your glory. And maybe, Lord, you see somebody that's been struggling and fighting and they hadn't been doing much winning. And the world and the flesh and the devil doing their best to try to keep them down. I pray you'll help them to see it's all a lie because they're on the throne in Christ. I just pray, Lord, you'll help them to want in their heart just to come and say, thank you, Lord. I trust you. I'm just going to feed on your word, love you, praise you, delight in you, and let you continue to give me victory in Christ. Please help hearts. And if there's someone lost, oh Lord, would you help them to see tonight that you want them right now as a gift to receive abundance of grace. Enough and way more to save them right now tonight. And the gift of righteousness. Lord, have your way in the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.